Today's sermon is entitled The Miracles We Take for Granted. It's based on Deuteronomy 10, 12 through 19, 1 Corinthians 9, 19 through 23, and Matthew 14, 13 through 21. The Miracles We Take for Granted. You may have read this story. It came from Chicken Soup for the Soul. I think it was for teenagers. And it's a story of Sharon Whitley. Sharon Whitley was a foster child, and she had been a foster child since she was 2 years old. She didn't know her father, and her mother was not able to take care of Sharon and her five sisters, so they were all placed in different homes when Sharon was two. She was lonely and scared, being separated from mother and sisters and not having a father, and the only way she knew how to express herself really was by throwing tantrums, tantrums that caused her foster parents to send her back to the adoption agency, which had happened twice by the time she was 6 years old. And it was during Sharon's third foster placement she met someone very special. Her name was Kate McCann. Kate was a single mother and wanted to, a single woman, wanted to adopt a child. And when Kate came to Sharon's home, Sharon was pretty sure that Kate would not pick her to be the adopted daughter. Sharon had pretty low self-esteem, two failed foster placements, and she was convinced that no one could really love her. Imagine Sharon's surprise when her social workers informed her a few days later and told her that Kate wanted to adopt her. Sharon must have been even more surprised when the social worker said that Kate was wondering if Sharon minded being raised by one parent instead of two. Sharon said that was perfectly okay with her. She just wanted someone who would love her. And the next day, Kate came out to meet Sharon. She told Sharon that the whole adoption process would probably take about a year, but Sharon would be able to go and live with Kate in a matter of days. While Sharon was excited, she was also afraid. Afraid that Kate might change her mind once she'd experienced Sharon's tantrums. Kate was able to sense Sharon's fears and hugged the little girl and said, "Well, I know you've been hurt. I know you're scared. I promise I will never send you away. We're family now." Well, Sharon was surprised to see that Kate had tears in her eyes, and she realized that Kate was just as lonely as she was. And the next week, Sharon met her grandparents, her uncles, her aunts, her cousins. She recalled how weird it felt to be with a bunch of strangers who smiled and hugged her as if they already loved her. She moved in with Kate soon afterwards. She got her own room, and Kate took her so that she would soon buy clothes and do all these things. Took her out that day, and for the first time that Sharon could remember, she went to bed at night feeling safe. She prayed that she would not have to leave. But Sharon couldn't believe that all this could really last. She was convinced that if Kate saw her worst side, that she would get sent away again. And Sharon couldn't stand living with this fear of being sent away, and so she was determined to push Kate to the edge, to force her to send her away sooner rather than later, just to get it over with, because the longer she stayed with Kate, the more it would hurt when she left. And so she threw tantrums, she picked fights, she slammed doors, she was determined to hit Kate if Kate ever touched her. And the odd thing was that Kate never tried to stop Sharon with force. Instead, she'd hug Karen and say that she loved her. Sharon stopped doing her homework and started failing in school. And one day, when Sharon was watching TV, Kate turned off the television and told Sharon she could watch TV after she did her homework. Well, Sharon threw her books across the floor and shouted, "I hate you. I don't want to live here anymore." And then she waited. She waited for Kate to tell her to go and pack her bags. She waited, but the order never came. She asked, "Aren't you going to tell me to leave?" To which Kate responded, I don't like the way you're behaving, but I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to give up on you. We're family, and families don't give up on each other." And that's when it finally dawned on Sharon that Kate really loved her. Sharon cried and hugged her and her new and faithful mom. Sharon's grades improved gradually, the tantrums disappeared, as did her fear of being sent away. And Sharon was finally home, living with someone she could genuinely call mom. The way that Kate reached out to Sharon is exactly the way that God reaches out to us. You know, last week we said that stewardship begins with the recognition that all things come from God, but I wonder if my focus on things may have been made God sound too much like a vending machine, giving us a lot of things. And the first point I want to make today is that love is the greatest thing God has ever given to us and ever could give to us. He doesn't give according to our virtue. If he did, we'd all be dead quite a long time ago. God gives as a good parent gives. He gives as Kate gives, lovingly and patiently, even when we act in ways that we might think would drive God to send us away. We see that in today's gospel lesson. God is moved by compassion to send Jesus, and Jesus is moved by compassion to heal the sick, physically and spiritually sick, those who couldn't walk and those who couldn't love. His whole entry into this world is a result of God's loving us beyond our ability to comprehend, beyond our ability to love him back. And the second miracle that we take for granted, well, it's that God moves us to love one another in the same way that he loved us. In a world that is hungry for food and that nourishes both body and the soul, we provide that food. We are God's servants. When the Sharons of this world curse at us and beg us to send them away, and when we think that we've reached the end of our rope, the end of our patience with those whom would curse us for our kindness, we're able to take our small portion of patience, look up to heaven, thank God for what he has given us, and give it freely to those around us, only to discover quite miraculously that what we had was enough. And now someone who has been touched by our offering, by our faith, will reach out to the next person in need of some love and patience. Today is World Communion Sunday, and it's a day that testifies to the miracle I've just described as people around the world come together to break the bread that represents the body of Jesus that was broken for us, to drink the cup that represents the blood that was shed for us. This miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 has played itself out for nearly 2,000 years, resulting in the feeding of billions of people through the ages. And the miracle continues. Within our own church, we have been touched by the love of Christ. And people who have been touched by that love have in turn reached out to touch others with the love of Christ through outreach, mission, Sunday school, music, vacation Bible school, movie nights, love baskets, advocacy for the poor and the marginalized, and support for one another. Do you think any of this could have happened apart from God's amazing love for us? Do you think any of this could have happened apart from the love God has inspired us to share with each other? Later on today, Nick is going to share how the Holy Spirit acted in this place and in this time, inspired him to reach out to others, and how he sensed that divine communion as he shared table fellowship with people in Fersey. I pray that the message that he shares with you this morning will inspire many of you to take those risks, to look at what God has given you, recognize that it is plenty, and be so inspired to share everything you have, your gifts, your time, your talents, your presence, your witness of God's amazing love to all those around you who may need a little patience, a little hug, and perhaps a lot of love.